Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you're looking for, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up there. It was pretty much this afternoon, a little later than usual, but it is up there. So swing on by and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. It'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And, you went all the way over there. You might as well go ahead and like that. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. Well, I hope you're keeping up with this because, as you know, I'm not watching baseball, but I am keeping up with what they're going to be doing. And for some incredibly stupid reason, they've brought back now what they're calling the ghost runner in extra innings, where you get to start with a man on second base. Dan, why can't they see this as a stupid rule? I mean, help me out here.
As one of the most influential men in our world has said, stupid is, stupid does, right?
Yeah, but I don't get this. The only people who like this is the media. No fans like this rule.
No, and I was going to ask, doesn't this rule come from the commissioner's office?
It was actually a tentative agreement between Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball's Player Association.
Oh, so they're all idiots.
Yes.
Well, I won't be watching extra inning games, that's for sure. Turning it off right after the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's just, this is a stupid rule last year. Now, for some reason, they brought it back. I don't get it. It is one of those things they need to vote. They need to get 30 owners' votes to, as they call, ratify. But it doesn't appear that that's going to be a problem. So, that's going to be in. They also decided they are going to expand the rosters from 26 to 28 players until May 1st due to the late start. And then the third one here I found was kind of interesting. They have what they call the Shohei Ohtani rule, Dan. That is where the team uses the same player as the starting pitcher and their DH. He can remain in the game as the designated hitter when they take him off the mound. And that's basically just to keep Ohtani in the games, right?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't remember the Angels doing that to begin with. Maybe I'm wrong. Or if they had the opportunity.
Oh, no, they did.
Honestly, I don't. Oh, well, I like the idea. I don't think it hurts because, I mean, technically, if you think about it, the way he's treated fantasy-wise, he's two different players. So,
yeah.
The nice thing about that, though, is it's there for the future if we ever see another Shohei Ohtani. You know, because we don't teach it here in the States.
Yeah, if it's something teams do, at least it's there.
Yeah. But, you know, players, in general, there's got to be some guys who love to pitch and love to hit. Not all of them, but, you know.
We know there's tons of them, actually, that like to do it. So we'll have to see.
Yeah. But I like that. I don't like the Ghost Runner. I didn't realize that's what it was called, Ghost Runner.
That's the first time I heard it called that. But, yeah, I guess that's what they're going with.
You know, for me, to be honest, you want to add that rule, that stupid rule, fine. But I think there should be a designated guy that you're not allowed to, you know, let's just say you have the number four hitter coming up and, you know, let's just go all the way back. Number four hitter is coming up and you put D. Gordon or Billy Hamilton. Let's go with Billy Hamilton. It's the White Sox. I don't know if he's still playing there or not, but sound like he is. It's the White Sox, top of the 10th. And they're going – or bottom, and they're going out there. They're going to put Billy Hamilton on base. I think that should be eliminated. I think you need – no offense, maybe start doing that running thing that the NFL does, and it's the slowest guy on the team, regardless of batting or second slowest, that gets put on first or on second. The guy that can be thrown out with a base hit to, you know, the outfield.
Yeah, but if that guy's in the lineup, how do you do that? You go with the slowest guy in the...
Yeah, well, you go with the second slowest.
You know, because, yeah, what is the person who made the last out, right? That's the setup, I believe.
Eventually. I mean, isn't there a guy who, quote-unquote, is like a backup catcher who's just there. That guy should get it. I don't think it's
With the expanded roster to 28, you could actually name a guy at the start of the game, you know, and just say, you know, this is our guy for extra innings, and then you can't use him during the game unless there's an emergency.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, and I'm just like you, this is a dumbass rule. So if you want to make it dumb, make a dumbass rule, I think there needs to be a bunch of things in parentheses into that dumbass rule.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're going to make it stupid, let's really have, you know, let's make it stupid. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't understand why they brought it back. I mean, I was so happy that they said it was gone. And, I mean, that was one of the things they even talked about during the lockout, was it was gone. And
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, here it is. Great. Just what we needed. An incredibly stupid rule that they brought back because the media wants the games to go faster. Yay. So, yeah, I don't get it. It baffles me. I was hoping you could help me out and give me a better understanding, but it's really just a play for the media, right? That's all it is?
I feel like it. And I think it has to do with players also not wanting to pull that stretch of game.
You know, I mean, have you found one fan that likes it?
No. I don't know anyone who likes it. But, you know, to be honest, that would be one of those moves that the owners would make because they don't have anything to gain and they don't have anything to lose by adding it.
Yeah.
You know, because alcohol sales, I think, completely stopped in the seventh or eighth inning. So, you know, for the owners, I mean, I was going to say they save money on electricity, but, you know, that stuff's not all night anyway. So. You know, I mean, to them, it's just kind of like it doesn't really do anything. So it really doesn't affect the owners.
Again, you know, it's just dumb. The bottom line, that's mm-hmm. the only way you can look at it. It's a terrible rule. And for whatever reason, they brought it back. And I don't understand it. But on the plus side, at least I won't have to watch it.
Bitter indie guy.
Yeah, definitely. Bitter baseball guy. I'm just very upset with them. And they just keep making it worse. I don't know how. They just keep finding a way to make it worse.
Makes you feel better if you're a Cubs fan. Jason Hayward hit a triple in spring training. Joey Bart hit a triple.
I'm sure everybody is very excited about that. I did see today, and I realized that this is going to be you. Apparently in about 2% of all ESPN fantasy baseball leagues, somebody's picked Buster Posey.
What?
Yeah.
Do they not
so
know?
I don't know if they're expecting back, or if maybe they had their auto pick on and forgot to take him off their rankings. But yeah, in about 2% of their leagues, Buster Posey has been drafted.
That was
so
very
maybe they or we
that,
don't
that
know
had to be
maybe
auto.
He's coming
no,
probably
I was gonna say that had to be guess. auto pick.
I just thought it was humorous that you know, because anytime Buster Posey comes up, I think about where you're going to pick him, and now I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. I honestly thought you were going to say that whatever percentage of people just quit ESPN Fantasy League because it's just not that great. Well,
it's harder to navigate than Yahoo. So... you know, it's a tough league. So fortunately, my friend no longer does his league, so I don't have to deal with it. So that's a big plus. But speaking of fantasy, Dan, one of the guys that I know you will end up with has signed for what will be his 15th year. Your guy Sergio Romo inked a one-year deal with the Seattle Mariners for $2 million. So he will enter his 15th year at age 39 in that Mariner bullpen. So I'm sure you're pretty happy about that, right?
He may not – well, you know, we'll see. He may not be a guy I draft, but somehow I'll have him.
Yeah, you'll end up with him one way or the other. So that's just how it goes. He's a guy, and you will definitely
Brian
land.
Yeah,
so you know, just one of those things. But yeah, so that was nice. You know, Sergio's going to get another year out of it. He's had a long career. What's he got? 3 World Series titles, I think, under his belt.
I think so.
I don't know if I would call him a Hall of Famer, but obviously he's had a really nice career.
Yeah, he's had an excellent career.
So, you know, you can't argue there. Well, you could, but why? You know, it's just that simple. Do you think he'll be one of those guys when he finally hangs it up, he signs like the one-day deal with the Giants to retire as a Giant? Because I still think that's pretty much what everybody remembers him as, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him as a Giant, but it's possible. I would like to see it.
You know, I was just kind of wondering if that would go that way. So, you know, and then I did see, you know, you mentioned Jason Hayward and the Cubs and all that fun stuff. Apparently they couldn't come to a contract agreement with Wilson Contreras, so he will go to arbitration. I read somewhere that they are like $1.25 million off, which I didn't think was a huge deal, but apparently it is for the Cubs. How long is he on the team, Dan? Does he make it to the trade deadline? Do they ship him off sooner? You know, I mean, he can't honestly play the whole year. They've got to get something for him in return, right? I mean, they can't be that stupid again, right? Well, they could, I guess, but really?
I think they are. I don't think, you know, Jed's doing his own thing. I think he's gone away from the, quote, core players. So, and while he may not be exactly that, he kind of is. So I don't think he's going to be there. What do you say? I think he'll be gone before the deadline.
Yeah, you think he goes that early? I mean, obviously, I know there's a, you know, there's always a lot of interest in him, and that's why I'm really kind of surprised he's still there now. You know, he was the guy with the most value out of anybody last year because he had the extra year. And for whatever reason, they hung on to him.
They're going to end up doing the same thing.
I don't understand at all.
It's going to be the same thing with like the Kyle Schwarber incident.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of looking at the same thing with, you know, what they did with everybody, right? I mean, they hung on to Bryant too long. You know, they decided to trade Rizzo. They hung on to him too long. I don't get what they're, you know, why they think about, you know, or what they think about when they do these things. It's like, you know, you're not going to sign them. Go get something in return. You know, and you know, maybe they're not the only team that does it, but boy, it sure it sure seems like they are, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's because it's local.
Yeah, and we see the news and stuff. So,
yeah.
And,
but I was going to say, I think it's just other teams are doing it, but I think it's just harder to when you see it here, especially. And I think what makes it harder is a lot of the places that do it, that's been their MO because they're, quote, small market where Cubs aren't.
Yeah, it's just one of those, one of those frustrating things when you see it, you know, over and over again. It's like, really, you know, you're going to.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, would you say the Cubs are almost essentially who established the rebuild process? I mean, teams have been going through it, but a lot of times it's been, you know, like Houston, they just didn't have anything left. You know, maybe I'm off. Maybe they designed that to go into a rebuild after, you know, the Killer Bees left and they lost to the White Sox in that World Series. Yeah, I don't – that time span between 2005 – you know, it was 2005. Yeah, 2005 and 2013, and they were total, like, you know, 100-loss team. You know, we've seen that, but was that – you know, it's hard because we – you know, what makes it harder, I think, Big Jack, is when you try to look back on it, we don't have the exposure – than like we do now, you know, being able to figure all this stuff out and know about it on a daily basis where, you know, you had to dig for that out-of-town stuff. But has that always been an MO for teams? When they can't get it right, they just tear it down? I mean, what kind of market would you consider Houston? It's still a large market.
You know, it's difficult to you know, to kind of judge, you know, who really kind of started what. I mean, did the Astros do it before the Red Sox?
I mean, I guess the question more so, Big Jack, is has anyone been more open about it where they say, this is our plan. We're just going to shit on you guys. Like, sorry for my language, but, you know, shit on the fans while we rebuild and build this farm system. And then, you know, luckily the pinnacle was the one World Series, but, it was like a pyramid scheme, you know, so to speak, except you were climbing up. So you watched your team climb up, hit that peak, and then just fall right back down. And I mean, it wasn't, you know, a gradual, it was literally a fall after the World Series win, you know, where we discussed like a team like the Dodgers who for the last 10 years, while they only have one ring, they've been competitive and championship contending teams pretty much all 10 years that they've been, you know, trying to do this. So it's just, I think that's what makes it a little bit harder, is it's been blatantly out there. And then even though Jed wants to be his own thing, aren't we just literally watching him do exactly what Theo did when he came here? We're not going to spend money. We're not going to sign anybody. Jed didn't say it, but that's what it's showing. And then he goes inside with Marcus Stroman. Well, I like the guy. He's been a fantasy pick of mine, but the term and the length and for what this team's doing, do I think that's the creative option? I think you're just signing a guy like Sam Zell, the Tribune, you know, the Jim Hendry era. You're just buying a guy to continue to help sell tickets. Because when they tanked, no one cared that Kyle Schwarber, Anthony Rizzo, and Chris Bryant were out there playing. They didn't come. They didn't show up. So
yeah, you know, I mean, you can...
Tell me I'm wrong.
You know, I mean, you can obviously, you know, you can say whatever you want about Jed. And, you know, he actually did say they were going to sign players. And he's got two, you know, he got Stroman and he got, the Japanese outfielder, Suzuki. So he's supposed to date, so we'll get to see him. You're not going to be Theo, but you're doing exactly what Theo did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, how does that matter?
And I mean, if you think about it, it's literally like a template that he's following.
Yeah, I mean, that's all they did was run the same. He's running the exact same plays that Theo did, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only problem is he's not going to have the same rewards because the rules are different.
Yeah. Well, and then, it, you know, what it makes you wonder and was, you know, when Theo went after Joe, there was the allegations of, I forgot what's the term, when you talk to a guy when you're not supposed
tampering.
To. Tampering.
Tampering.
And, you know, there was there any tampering talk about you bringing Jed to the Cubs?
No.
Because, you know, he was with Boston, then he went to San Diego, and then all of a sudden Jed's coming to the Cubs, boom, or I mean, Theo, boom, there's Jed, you know.
So yeah, that was I think it was kind of known that, you know,
yeah.
you know, you get one, you get the other. So
yeah, but I guess my point with that is San Diego didn't make a stink about it.
No.
What does that tell you?
So, yeah, who knows? So, you know, you just don't know, you know.
Any
so,
other
yeah, we'll have. Well, you know, there was another gigantic NFL trade. I don't know if you caught up with that one. I know you're not a huge NFL guy, but the Chiefs shipped off Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins for five draft picks. So they got a first and a second coming up. I think it's a first, a second, and a fourth coming up in this draft, and then it might be a fourth and a sixth down the road or a second and a sixth down the road. So...
I mean, what, does that sound like a good thing? Does that, you know, sound like a good thing to you and on both sides of the equation?
Well, you know, it definitely gives the Dolphins a heck of a wide receiver combination, but you wonder what the Chiefs are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, you know, here we go, and you know, now we've got rid of our, you know, our top wide receiver, and how do we replace him? I know they signed, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, but he's not exactly a replacement for Tyreek Hill, so. So we'll have to see. I mean, I guess maybe they're going to sign somebody or, you know, draft somebody now that they got the extra draft picks. So.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I thought. Thought they were going after those draft picks. But that puts them, does that more or less put them in a good position because they have their own draft picks already in those rounds, correct?
Yeah, well, apparently they're picking 29th and 30th in the first round. So they're not huge high draft picks. So we'll see how that works out. But then again, you know, you can always package them up to, you know, move up in the draft and, you know, get a you know, it's just a matter of, you know, can they do it? You know, obviously it takes two to tango. So, you know, can they find a team that, you know, is willing to do that? So. You know, I mean, you know how it is with these, you know, with these draft picks. So. You know, it's starting to sound like it's like baseball where you gotta get the prospect. So
that's what it's all about. It's all about the prospect.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, you know, it is interesting. I mean, you know, the rest of the division, the AFC. And, you know, adding these star players, and the Chiefs kind of went in the opposite direction with this. So it's a little interesting. And I guess in a way it makes sense because, you know, Hill wanted a new contract, which he got from the Dolphins. He's now the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, or the highest average, yearly average wide receiver. So he got his money.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to see if it works out or how it affects, the Dolphins, but it looks like it looks like a great move for the Dolphins. And, now they're going to find out if Tua Tagovailoa is really a franchise quarterback.
Yeah. As long as he stays healthy.
Yeah. They signed a really nice offensive lineman as well to help protect him. So the Dolphins are doing everything possible to win, which is obviously what you want your team to do. So, if you're a Dolphin fan, you'll be pretty happy. But if you're a Chiefs fan, you've got to kind of wonder what's going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But the question I had for you, which is kind of throwing me off just a little bit, with the allegations from the former head coach who's now with Pittsburgh, is this what they're doing, kind of a result? Oh, no, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't offering him money. He's, trying to discredit his character, so to speak. But is that kind of a result of it? We've been caught, so now we have to move forward with actually winning and not be known as the team who will tank on purpose internally all the way to the top?
Yeah, either that or they just decided to, maybe they just think they're at a point to where they're ready to win.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll have to see. I mean, they've made some really interesting signings, and they've got the new head coach, and, if they do win, what can you say, right? I mean, they're not tanking, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's just been, it's just been such an odd NFL offseason with all the movement, that's went on with these guys. Yeah, who knows what the heck is next? I mean, between this today and just all the other stuff that's went on, it's nuts. So,
yeah, well, I mean, through being every morning, being as in tune with giving you your sport, all your news, not just what we're supposed to be forced on. Well, I guess it's forced on. Either way, I get my points. That's all I care about. But you are correct in the fact that it's like every day there's somebody in the NFL being traded, signed, or even retired. And it's interesting, too, because there's guys that they're talking about, and I'm like, never even heard of this guy, and he's had a 15-year career,
So, yeah, I'm just to the point now where it's like, okay, what's next? Who's going to go where, and what's going to happen there? So, and I know, there are people who are, you can't be too down on Kansas City, because don't forget, they do still have Travis Kelce. So it's
mm-hmm.
not like they're going to, they're all of a sudden going to stink or, anything like that. So, and if Clyde Edwards-Helaire could just stay healthy, you know, they could probably have a little bit better running game than they have. So, it, you know, who knows what's going to go on. So we'll have to see and, you know, kind of watch how these things shake out. But, I mean, there's just been so many big names that have either been traded or just changed teams. It's nuts.
Is this not the norm for them, for the NFL?
Oh, God, no, the NFL. You know, I mean, normally there's a few signings here or there, and, you know, you see a big name move every once in a while, but this is just insane with the amount of movement they've had and just the names. I mean, you know, first, you know, Tom Brady comes back. You know, then we've got, you know, Russell Wilson on a new team. We got Matt Ryan just recently on a new team.
Yeah.
You know, Carson Wentz, who obviously isn't quite the big star the other guys are, but, you know, he goes to a new team. Devonta Adams gets moved, who's basically the two best wide receivers in football, got traded. You know, Devonta Adams went from Green Bay to Las Vegas. Sorry, I still do that every now and then. You know, and then Tyreek Hill goes from Kansas City to Miami. You know, we saw the Khalil Mack here, you know, trade up close and personal. So it's just, it's goofy with the way these players are moving and being traded or signing other places. And you start to wonder who's next. And when are the Bears going to make a big signing? Oh, well, we know that's not going to happen.
Well, yeah. Well, they did make a big signing for that property. That was their big signing. I do have to ask you about the one. You know, I know we talked about Russell Wilson. So, you know, just real quick, what are your thoughts on that as a Seahawks fan? And, you know, give me the Seahawks fan and then – you know, the logical guy that understands how the game works and blah, 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 you know, that side. And then were you really surprised by Tom Brady?
You know, I actually was surprised by Brady. I kind of thought once he walked away, he would be done. But I guess you could look at it as he really didn't walk away. I mean, he didn't miss much. He was only gone a couple weeks. And, yeah, you kind of wonder – what the heck happened?
And should we all have known since Gronk didn't retire again?
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely should have figured something was up there when, you know, one left and one stayed. But, you know, that wasn't a surprise. But, yeah, the Russell Wilson thing, obviously as a Seahawk fan or any Seahawk fan, you're incredibly disappointed. I mean, this is probably the best quarterback in team history. I don't know if I would go so far as say best player because Steve Largent was pretty good. But, you know, you're looking at a guy who's probably a future Hall of Famer. He got him to two Super Bowls. They should have won both, but they screwed up the play call on the one. And then you turn around and you go, well, they got quite a bit for him. So if they're going to rebuild, they're off to a good start. But I'm not quite sure what they're doing because they didn't move anybody else. You know, they still have two really good wide receivers. And, you know, they got a what everybody thinks might be a good quarterback if they can develop them. You know, Denver could never do anything with Drew Locke for whatever reason. And it's possible it was just coaching. So we'll see in a new system if maybe he can play like the first-round draft pick he was. If not, you know, there's always the possibility they could go out and get a Baker Mayfield who once out of Cleveland now that they got Deshaun Watson, or go get a Jimmy Garoppolo. But I don't know if San Francisco would trade Garoppolo within the division. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but, you know, that you save a lot of money by moving Wilson, so you get a quarterback on a rookie contract, which is big when it comes to signing guys. So maybe it works out, but, man, it's tough to see him go because, obviously, I mean, you know, you had him in fantasy, so you followed him. He's a damn good player. So it's tough.
Well, and I think he was, you know, kind of like Brady was to the Patriots up until recently.
Yeah. You know, it's very similar. I mean, obviously, they didn't win as much. But, you know, they did get there twice and win one. So, you know, I mean, he's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. You know, and we'll see. I mean, it's tough to see him go, but if they can do something, you know, with the picks they've got, which they don't have a great history of, so I'm not all thrilled with that. You know, you do wonder how much longer Pete Carroll even sticks around. I mean, he's an older coach, so you just don't know. You know, they are in a tough division as well.
Yeah. But kind of looking at it all, would you say the NFL has this offseason, maybe over just a handful, kind of has really shaken the league up? And I think
we'll
see some different outcomes from teams that you might not have expected to be making a playoff run.
Well, you know, by the time it all shakes out, you know, everybody will be, you know, placed where they're expected to be. So, yeah, I don't know if we'll see, you know, like we had the Bengals this year who went to the Super Bowl. I don't know if we'll see something like that next year, but it does look like we've got a lot of teams that are building or built to succeed now. And we'll just have to see which ones can and which ones can't.
So,
you know, and
I
definitely think you and I are rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers if Mitchell Trubisky is their starting quarterback, right?
Yeah. So we both need the shirt then. I was going to say, you know, for our friends up in the other side of the lake, a little north to us, any hope for the Lions?
You know, not next year. I think they're still a little bit away. You know, they do own a couple, you know, they do own, you know, some quality draft picks. And again, like any other team, if you use them properly, you can turn – the one thing about the NFL is you can turn a team around quickly, you know, with a few good draft pick contributors and a few good free agent signings. I just don't know if the Lions have put it all together. The one advantage they have is it looks like the Vikings may be coming back. The Vikings and the Bears are kind of coming back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they win a few more division games next year. But, yeah, you know, I mean, they're still quite a ways away from being even a playoff challenger for, you know, a wild card or anything. So, but, yeah, you know, hopefully they improve. So, we'll see. Maybe, you know, maybe they will be better than expected. Maybe they'll be the surprise team and they'll finish in second behind Green Bay.
Only time will tell.
Yeah. So, but all right, well, I want you to help me out with this, Dan, as we're going to switch to the NBA. And, you know, I'm not a huge follower because the pro game bores the hell out of me with the way they play it. But the Bulls basically went from everybody talking about them winning an NBA title to just being a couple games out of the play-in tournament. What the hell is going on?
Would you say what was expected in the beginning?
You know, well, everybody thought they would be a playoff team in the beginning. You think that's what happened? They got everybody's hopes up, and everybody started kind of drinking the Kool-Aid, as they say, and then they're just coming back to normal?
They apparently don't have the stamina. I don't know what's happened. I mean, you're right. You don't hear as much Bulls talk on talk radio as you did before. Now that they're just kind of flipping. So, you know, the NFL's king, so they're always going to talk Bears in Chicago. But it's interesting that they've kind of fell off. I mean, I just felt like for the last couple of months, though, they've been just strictly relying on DeMar DeRozan to make every play. You know, I know you weren't watching a whole lot, but didn't it kind of feel that way? Because, you know, all the highlights were on DeRozan. He gets them on Zach. And the thing that I think hurts the most, so to speak, is, you know, you've always been one to say that you never felt LaVine was the guy to build around. I wouldn't even say build around. You always said the superstar that they presented him as. And I think with LaVine and DeRozan, a couple other players, they should have been able to kind of maintain it. So, you know, not that I hate to say it, but it's what you've been saying over the last couple of seasons is kind of ringing true.
Yeah, it's, you know, just the way it is. You know, and I know, you know, and again, everybody's really quick to go to the, well, they've had a lot of injuries. Yeah, so has every other team.
I wanted to say that for you, but I forgot.
You know, the good old Golden State Warriors played quite a bit without Draymond Green, and they were in second place in the West while he was out. So, you know, you can't say Draymond Green isn't a big contributor there. You know, they also played, I believe, the entire year so far without James Wiseman. So, you know, again, it's just, you know, how it is. You know, players get hurt, and you have to make up for it. So, but yeah, you just can't continue to, you know, to use that as an excuse. You know, every team plays with them, so you gotta roll with it.
Well, I mean, not to mention the Nets with the Kyrie situation.
Yeah, the Kyrie situation, the James Harden situation, Kevin Durant getting hurt. You know, granted, they're in the play-in round right now, so you know we'll see how that works out for them. But do you worry about the Bulls slipping into the play-in tournament and then maybe not getting out of it? How disappointing would that be if that happened?
It would be extremely disappointing.
You know, because I want to look here. I believe they are only 2 games out of slipping into that 7th spot, which is the play-in tournament. Toronto holds that spot right now. Fortunately, there's a team between them. Cleveland is in between the Bulls and the Toronto, and I believe Toronto just beat Chicago a couple days ago. Or maybe that was the game they won. No, I think that was the game they won. So. But, yeah, that was like their first win in 5 games, or their only win in 5 games. You know, and they do have a winnable game tomorrow against the New Orleans Pelicans. But it's kind of getting to the point where they have to beat these teams that are below them, right? Because they are just terrible against good teams. You know, and they only have 10 games left, believe it or not. So, you know, that's how the season is rolling on there. We're looking at 10 games left, and, you know, luckily for the Bulls, I think the majority of their games left are winnable, Dan, so they may be okay. They do have Miami, Milwaukee, and Boston, you know, to start April off, but those are really the only three tough games. They really should have a chance. They do have Cleveland, but I think they're a better team than Cleveland, so they really have a chance to go 7-3 down the stretch, and I think that saves them and keeps them out of the play-in, don't you?
Yeah, they, like you said, they really need to, well, number one, they just need to win to maintain and stay in that playoff picture. I mean, I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong about when I said this, but I, after the season started, I kind of had them for a second-round team. I didn't think they'd get past it, but I thought they would at least make it to the second round.
Yeah, well, you know, right now they would face the Boston Celtics, who have beaten them pretty handily, I believe, the last time they played. Do you think they get out of that round now? Has your opinion changed?
It has, because, you know, I was looking at the Bulls to be more in the middle. You know, I just, from watching the games I was watching, and maybe that was the problem. I wasn't watching when they weren't playing good. You know, a lot of the games I just happened to catch, they were playing really good. And if they had an off day, they, you know, they were kind of coming back in the end. So, you know, I think maybe I was a little, you know, I had the rose-colored glasses on because I was seeing that at the same token. But I think that opinion would definitely change. And I don't think they'd beat Boston.
Yeah, and then the other NBA thing I wanted to run by you is, how humorous would it be if the Lakers were, you know, right now the Lakers are hanging on to ninth in the West. How humorous would it be if they fall out of the play-in and they don't get in the playoffs at all?
I mean, I think it would be hilarious. And it just goes to prove, just like with Major League Baseball, having the quote-unquote best guy in the league means jack when you don't have the best team. You know, at the end of the day, it's a five-man, you know, five men in the court, not one guy.
Yeah, and unlike the Bulls, they've got some tough games here, Dan. They have Philadelphia tonight. They also face Dallas, Utah. They have two games against Denver, Phoenix, and Golden State. You know, and they face Golden State later here, April 7th. So Golden State should have Steph Curry back and, you know, be a little healthier getting ready to head into the playoffs. You know, I mean, we could legitimately see the Lakers go 3-7 or 2-8 down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to wonder, would that be enough to kick them out of the play-in?
Be kind of funny. I mean, it would just be interesting. And then it makes you wonder, in 5 years, well, you know, I don't know how his ego would take it, but would you want to be the team that drafts his son and somehow be, I don't want to say swindled, but almost forced to pick up LeBron? Or you have LeBron and you're forced to pick his son, you know?
You do wonder, if you draft his son, does LeBron cut you a deal and play for the veteran minimum to play with his kid?
That,
or does he
I'm
expect
wondering.
A big money deal?
And to run the team. You know, so
yeah.
It just, it makes for a lot. You know, he's a great player. I'm not going to knock it. He's been fun to watch. I don't know. To me, I just, the face he makes, he just always seems to have this pouty face. So, I don't know. Maybe I just don't see enough of him smiling. It has nothing to do with anything, Big Jack. Stupid Moneyball scout talk. But, you know, it's just, I guess, again, the NBA, MLB, NFL, I wouldn't say the NFL so much, but they market one player, and you've got an entire league of guys, and it just drives me nuts that they just want to completely shove it down your throat. You know, LeBron's breaking all these records. Well, he should. He's been playing forever now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been gifted. I mean, let's not even talk about his talent to begin with. I mean, he's the NBA. He's been in since he's 18. He's had a great career, and I think the one thing that he's been able to avoid is major injuries. And I don't – correct me if I'm wrong. I don't really remember any major LeBron injuries. You know, the last couple of years he's had some groin issues. But, you know, he's been blessed. He's very gifted player, very talented. He do it all. I wouldn't really count him being my three-point shooter. I believe that's other guys. But, you know, at what point do you quit, continue to keep driving it down your throat when he's, you know, oh, he's going to max out and do this and that? Well, maybe he should at that point or that game because they're going against one of the worst teams. You know, I get it. It's fun to track his progress. But at this point, you know, he's going into Hall of Fame. Do we need to get announcements?
Yeah.
Every time he's going to break a new record.
Yeah, well, you know, and obviously it's impressive breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's impressive. But, yeah, some of the other stuff, you know, like they were like he's the first 30-whatever-year-old to post a 30-point triple-double. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, that I think he did it in a game they lost. So it's like, well, you're kind of cutting up the lead there because winning and losing is more important. You know, the numbers are nice, but they need to win games.
Yeah. You know, but that's the thing. You know, what I love about post-player career is that's what you do. You sit there. I mean, these days are over, but the dead radio day and your Pete Rose talk, what did you talk about when you talked about Pete Rose? Because he's no longer playing, all you did was talk numbers and theorize why he should be in, you know. And that's, I think, the thing that kind of kills it is we have too many individual stats that are just so relied upon for regular season that we forget that the team has to play together and win.
Yeah, and, you know, you do wonder what some of those all-time greats would have ended up doing had they not had to go to 4 years of college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have to remember, like, Jabbar had to play 4 years in college before he could join the NBA. You know, so did Will, guys like Elton Baylor, guys like that. You know, would that obviously that would change their numbers a little, right?
Oh, yeah. So, I didn't even, to be honest, I didn't realize that, Big Jack, that there was that requirement back then.
That used to be the requirement. But, all right, Dan, watch the 6:30 game on ESPN because Ja Morant's in that and he's a new star and might be the MVP. Get over there and check out the new blog. But while you're there, hit that link and it'll take you to the Facebook page. Go ahead and give them a like for you. Get with everything you can get. Don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Palm Radio. And feel free to look Dan and I up on Twitter as well if you'd like to do that. Now, if you're ready to come by and listen to this live, well, thank you for doing that. But if you missed out for some reason, head over to Twitter.com and see you also on the woman.
SportsTimeRadio.com.